So
today we are on lesson two of the Psalms. And that means that we're talking about the Torah Psalms. And in order to introduce the Torah Psalms, we need to know a little bit about how Torah was viewed by the Israelites. So we understand, first of all, that there are only three Torah Psalms. That is Psalm 1, Psalm 19, and Psalm 119. But they stand as a very important and an underlying foundation of all the Psalms, in that they remind us of what we're involved in, a discussion, a conversation with God, because Torah, remember, is God's direction or God's words. The Torah Psalms introduce the Psalter in Psalm 1. The Torah Psalms contain the key verse of all the Psalms, and that is in Psalm 19. And the Torah Psalms stand as the largest, bulkiest of the Psalms, and the largest chapter in the entire Bible, and that is Psalm 119. So what we see in the very few number of Torah Psalms is the huge import of the Torah Psalms. We probably feel it's strange if the Torah Psalms are so important, if Torah is so important to the Israelites, then why only three? The answer can be probably found in the fact that Torah as foundation was a given in Israelite society once the Psalms were written down and organized by the editors. The Torah, God's word, was central to their community and to their culture. But it didn't become central and the center part of their lives, of their worship, until they went to Babylon. And it was in Babylon, when they were in exile, that they discovered that even if they were away from the temple, or the temple did not stand, which was the case, right, when they went to Babylon, that even in that instance, the temple, which had been the center of their lives up until that time, so for all of the time that Israel was a people, the temple, the tent of meeting, was the place of the central place for their lives. And yet when they leave Jerusalem and they have a destroyed temple, they now go to Babylon and they ask, well, then are we not a people any longer? Remember, Moses says, Lord, if you don't go with us, we are no longer a people. We are nothing without you. The Israelite people were God's people, and if God wasn't with them, then they were nothing. And since the temple was that space where heaven and earth intersected, where God actually dwelt in order for humanity to meet with him, to be able to converse with him, if the temple was gone, then did that mean that God had not gone with them? They weren't able to travel like they did in the wilderness the first time with this movable temple, this tabernacle. They no longer had anything. They didn't bring anything with them. So as they were in Babylon, that was a question that the whole community was asking. Are we no longer a people? Are we to just assimilate into the Babylonian society? And they discovered that God was still meeting with them, was still conversing with them. Because in their oral tradition, they had brought with them God's word, and it was still applicable. They were finding that in reciting again the Torah, what they knew that God had already said to them, that it was actually still applicable, that it was a living word. And this kind of surprised them. Not only because they had never experienced this, the God's presence without his tent of meeting and his tabernacle, but in the ancient world at that time, all religions had their gods, and they understood their gods to be reigning and living and dwelling only in very confined spaces. In other words, there was a god of water that was only in the water. there was a god of insects, and there was a god of frogs and such. There was a god of certain pieces of land, and one god didn't overlap into another god's territory, and certainly the gods didn't move. So in the ancient Near East religions, they understood gods to have certain territories. And even Israel, because they were an ancient Near East people, felt the same way, that God's territory was the temple, really, and eventually Jerusalem and Israel, that he was making room there. But when they went to Babylon, they had to question that. And yet when they found that the words that they had carried with them were actually still relevant, still speaking to them in their current situation, it was revealed to them that God's presence was available even in a foreign land, even in Babylon, even in another God's land. In other words, God was still meeting with them without a temple. God's words were still available to them. This God of Israel, was the God of everywhere. This was radically different than any concept an ancient Near East people had embraced. Until exile, remember, they had relied on his presence being in that confined space of the temple. But after exile, once they were in exile, they learned the important truth that God's presence was also embodied in his very words. This is where the New Testament begins to bring the understanding of the fact that God's word is living, because God himself is embodied in his word. And when we think about that, of course, as Christians in the New Testament times, we begin to understand that God was preparing them so that when the incarnation of the word came to them, they had already been prepared in the first step to know that God was embodied in his word. And it was just a further step. So this was a big deal for Israel to learn that God was embodied in his very words. And with that revelation, that there was available connection with Yahweh through his word, they began to establish synagogues, where men could study his word and write it down and understand it more deeply for the sake of the community. Thus, the word became a tool of cohesion for the community. It began to, as they studied it and wrote it down and began to teach it in more depth, they began to see the community remaining cohesive. And that did a couple of things. First of all, it reflected to them that not only was God present and embodied in his word, but that it was a reflection of God's own being, his cohortative being, his real being, a being of community. Remember that we have this concept of Trinity, but they did not. But they were beginning to understand that God was cohortative, that he was community, and that was reflected in the cohesiveness that his embodied word gave the community. So it really adhered the community to itself. Why that was so unique, and in fact continues to be unique in all of history, is that this adherence to the centrality of God's word allowed Israel to remain a distinct and faithful people, even in a foreign land. This is the only time in history that we begin to see a people who are brought out of their own land into a foreign land do not assimilate into that culture and kind of get lost, but remain their own people, very distinct, not only in their religion, but in their own ethnicity. So that we begin to see throughout history that only Israel, as a people, continued to be a people for the length of time they have. So from the beginning of Israel being a people to even now, they are a distinct people. And that is due to the fact that they adhered to God's words, embodied God's presence within his word, and understood that, and therefore clung to that. And that helped them to remain a faithful and distinct people. So that is kind of the understanding that Israel had about Torah, so that when they collected all the Psalms, Torah was, of course, a piece of their understanding of who they were. And it was just understood. It's as if an American understands that a piece of who an American is the freedom to vote, and the freedom to choose whatever jobs and go wherever they want and live wherever they want. The freedoms of America are a given. And so we don't talk about them very often. And yet everyone knows that. And not even just the Americans know that, right? The world knows that. And the same thing was true of Israel. Everyone knows in Israel that Torah is the foundation for life. It's the center. It's where God is embodied. And the world around them also knew that. And it was interesting that that kind of played a part in eventually the Babylonian or the Persian king Cyrus telling Israel, go back home and rebuild your temple. You are a distinct people, and we're going to support that. So that's the foundation of Torah as we enter the Torah Psalms.